Join me now in welcoming Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Yes, was the start of my last show, and here it is again. Another Miracle Nutrition, man, where we get to get together and recharge our batteries. Just like we were an electric car or a hybrid that also runs on Burgoo or something like that, or a vegetarian version, for that matter. Oh, it's so good to be with you. What a blessing. I'm telling you, this is what I consider myself. I consider myself one of those people on the side of a marathon who are handing out little tiny Dixie cup of water, you know, and to the runners who go by. Now, I did that at first. I didn't know what was in the cup, and I had put little M&Ms and things. I didn't know. And one of the fellas choked, but not to death or anything. I wouldn't do that. But what I want to be is that refreshment stop on the marathon that is your life. And I know I'm keep saying, well, stop talking to me. I have a race to run. That race will be there when you're done, or it won't, or you could be left behind. But it's important to rehydrate, because you don't want to get headaches, or your skin will lose its elasticity. Did you know in the ancient world, when we drank more water, our skin was so elastic that we were like flying squirrels, that we could leap out of buildings? And yes, there were buildings back then. I'll get to that. I don't think this is true. A lot of what I believe now has been contradicted by the evidence, and I don't mind that so much. My imagination has no limits on it. The museums in my mind don't have to be accurate, but the ones in real life do, sort of. We don't want to spread lies. And when I go to a museum or something, I want to say, is that a real painting? And they'll say, well, what? Yes. Okay. But sometimes it's not a real painting. It's just a reproduction of a painting. Was that also a painting? I don't know. Oh, the questions I can pose on this show. It's a lot like college. Not the classes. More like the dorm, very, very late at night. I said, what was in that? I don't know, man. That's the kind of thought I like. Anything that blows you, to really blow your mind, make your mind smaller. And then it was, oh, that is, what a concept that is to me, since I don't have any concepts. So just like when you bring a man cookies who has no shoes, he'll say, I'm going to try to use these cookies as shoes. And you go, no. So, well, why didn't you bring me shoes, fool? And likewise, I brought some shoes to the baker. And he's like, I got cookies. So you got to be careful that you get someone the right gift. I want to give in this life, but I want to make sure that I have the right thing to give you. So I'm going to need you to register somewhere so I can just go in there. Not in a literal store, but the store I'm thinking of is a sort of meta-ethics. Now, you figure that how we're going to work that out. I don't know. Probably will involve the web somewhere where I can get a tangible. I can bring your name up, and it'll say, peace of mind. I say, oh, Joe, just a peace of mind, or you want the whole set? See, I never know what to do. If you get somebody in real life a lemonade set or something, how many cups do you give them? Do you limit them? Do you give them four cups and say there's just going to be four? You're like, or why an even number? Is that tradition? I looked into this, and it is tradition when somebody has been married for 40 years to give them a single cup made of rice paper. And in that, you pour a sort of plum wine. Ah, no, that's not what we do, really. It's all been calculated. There is a conspiracy, I believe, between the people who used to make greeting cards. Now, people don't send them anymore, so the greeting card people are now powerless, virtually powerless, like stockbrokers. They've got nothing to do. They did not keep up with the times. And, well, we should have gone over to, you know, just completely free and intangible. Say, yes, why didn't we do that? Things that you think are not, can't be made a commodity or sold or something, can. You just have to expand your mind about what's a product. A fella approached me and goes, would you like to buy space on an escalator? I said, what? He goes, well, it's you buy a step on an escalator. I said, well, how's that work? He goes, well, you buy it, it's yours. Well, what do I do with it? And he goes, that's up to you. It's your step. I said, what do I like, charge people for getting on the step? He goes, well, you could do that. But if the others aren't charging, they'll just skip over your step. Then what good is it? He goes, well, the promise, you know, in the future, maybe everybody will charge for their step, and then you can compete with those prices, and Lord knows, the sky's the limit. So I don't know. I said, can I build on it? No. Also, it's a bit of a timeshare thing. I think other people own it, so I don't really know what I'm getting. I didn't do it. First of all, I didn't have any money, but I stayed because they were giving out candy. Now, a lot of things are like that. I will hear you out. I say it like Kanye, say to the salesman, I'm going to let you finish, but then I'm not going to buy your product. So what? Why don't you decide right now what we're going to do? Because I have a hard time cutting people off, salesmen and all, but I got honestly... You're not getting blood from... Actually, you could get blood from a stone. Would be easier. Why don't we try to go... I'm going to stop your sales pitch. And let's go cut a stone and watch the blood ooze from it. And then maybe money will appear magically in my wallet. And then you can put a coat of tar on my driveway or something. Or whatever you'd want to do. Cut down my trees. And what? Oh, look, I see you've been using your teeth. And that's why they're gone. When people just come to my door like that, when I don't need the service, and they say, would you like your windows repaired? And I go, well, my windows aren't broken. And they say, yet. That I'm probably not going to do business with them. So I got to look on Melissa's list or whatever it's called. Some lady has a list. She's like, yes, I like that. No, I don't like that. I just call an old lady. Say, old lady, who do you use? I love, and a lot of old ladies around here, my neighbors, have fallen in love with a company. I love that. Oh, Marshall Plumbing. Marshall Plumbing does such a good job, and they will stay there all day and speak to you. That's the thing I think I like. And as I get older, I realize that's what I like in a good subcontractor, chattiness. That's what I'm looking for company. I don't even care if you do a good job. In fact, I hope you don't, so I can call you back to redo it. And then we can catch up. I had to, if you really want to having your air conditioner repaired is like taking on an exchange student. They're there like, you get used to them. And it's, you got water. And so just, you know, anything in the fridge really. And this is your room, right? And we share the kitchen and then you have your own bathroom. They're there for days or sometimes. I still have workmen here. I'm talking about you, Joey. I'm all right. It's like, no, there's no workman here now. I'm all alone. You don't know that, though. That's the power of radio. The power of radio. In the old days, a radio set was large and not portable. And the radios they would have would take up a whole room. All right? Now, this is when it was invented by Marconi or one of them, the sleepy Italian. And He said, I'm always going to sleep. I need some type of entertainment. I don't have to have my eyes open. What, like theater? And someone said, well, phonograph. And he goes, right. And they go, well, there's the phonograph. And he said, but a radio. Come up with that. And I go, okay, well, that seems needlessly complicated. And he goes, yes, well, this is how it works. And he called up Tesla. And Tesla said, I'm busy working on a transporter. We don't know where his notes went. Tesla kept no notes. So the only thing we know about Tesla's work is what we've made up. So it's very, and it's, oh my goodness. He could conjure light. We do know because he was visited by people like Mark Twain, who said, I visited him, but I used a false name. I called myself Mark Twain because I didn't want people to know I was there. And I was just there to get some... something from him. He also, apparently he dealt laudanum. No, he doesn't want to spread lies, especially about the dead, because they can do more about it, I think, than the living. The living, sometimes they never know about it, but the dead are like, did you hear? It gets around. Did you hear what he's saying about you? Can I use one of my curses? The dead get three deadly curses from beyond the grave. Did you know this? So when you speak ill of them, they could use it. Sometimes they save it up, though. The good card players, beware of a dead whist master, if there's such a thing, because he will know he's going to keep that ace of trumps, and you're going to get it. That's the second time I've made that sound effect for getting it. I don't know. I guess that's a last gasp kind of thing. Oh, I don't want to talk about negative things like that. I'm all about, you've come to a sort of meeting. Oh, it's like having a meeting with your community, but it's better because they're not here. You're just you. You can wear, I say, when I'm an old lady, I'm going to just wear a red hat and listen to the radio without my pants on. Yes, you can do that. That's not offensive to anyone. No one's watching or anything, even if it were. What are they doing in your living room? Indeed, indeed. Exchange students, again, well, or repairmen, in which case, pant up. But if not, oh my word, no one's looking at you. It's just you and your creator, and also a class of interns that he's got. A lot of that God will go around with angels who are like interns and say, we've come to see your hemorrhoid, and also I'd like all these 10 people to look at it so they can just see how nasty it is. That happens in hospitals. So, oh, is this a teaching hospital? Yes. And the show and tell is your rectum that I brought. Class, you look at it, oh, and I taught you in Sunday school, didn't I, Maria? Yes, Mr. White. That was my Maria voice is rather deep. So I think I'm not about gender. I don't make any assumptions, right? You can be any type of person you want. I think that's so much of identity is gender. But see, you a boy or a girl, right? So I don't know. You want to take a look at my privates or something? Really? What about just, I think of this is why in the future, we all wear a type of schoolboy hat. You know what I'm saying? It looks like either a 19th century cricket hat or English public-private school. I get that mixed up. Public, and it's switched in England. So you say public school is a private school. So I think public and private, you switch around in England. Oh, I don't want to mess up. So here I go, So I was looking for Publix, and I went to England, and made a terrible mistake. So I won't go. Oh, come on now! Listen, I'm an old fella, and sometimes I'll make corny jokes. How did that come about? Corny jokes, because a lot of times in the old days, when you make a bad joke, you take somebody into the cornfield. You tell them, and if they groan, then you kill them, and you leave them there. And say, don't mock my humor. That's why you bring them out there, because you couldn't do that in public. So you got to be careful. Oh, I like to just have the generations share humor. Can there be jokes across the generation? I mean, can a 20-something find a 100-year-old lady or something make a joke with an 18-year-old laugh? Say, yeah, I don't know. So can something be, or is it that much tied to our experience and culture that what we find funny can't even be found funny within the same culture a few years later? Case in point, don't have one. Actually, yes, how about this? How about we just look at the humor of the past? Maybe it skips generations. Everybody thinks their grandparents are funny, but their parents are not funny. So I don't know, go back and look. It's just an assignment. If you're under a certain age, go back and look at old some Merv Griffins or something. Say, oh, yeah, that Marty Allen. I don't understand. See? And you say, oh, okay. It was you had to be there. I think sometimes, too, with humor, you have to be the same sort of wasted or something as the comedian. Because sometimes it really does have to do with a situation. If you're at a party or something, I've heard friends, just go to a party sober, and also invisible. Get your invisibility cloak. I have a full bodysuit invisibility. I find that easier. The cloak is it's annoying. I got to keep it over my head. Is it covering my feet? I get very self-conscious. But, or the rub-on lotion, the invisibility lotion. And that's also good. Make sure that you do wear a pair of shorts or something just in case it wears off, and then rub the lotion on top of the shorts. Are you doing it now? So then go to the party and then listen to what people are laughing at as they speak to each other. And they would laugh uproariously as they were listening to the most clever dialogue on earth. If they've just heard the funniest joke, but the thing said is not particularly funny, maybe objectively. Do you understand what I'm saying? No. Because you're not invisible at this party with the lotion all over you. Don't you understand? It just, I'm saying that you won't always find it funny. Or somebody will turn you on to a comedian and say, hey, you got to listen to my comedy album. Now I'm dating myself. Why am I dating myself? Because those dating services didn't come up with anybody. So I think, you know what? I think the perfect person's been here all along. I'm missing. It's me. So I'm now doing that. I'm forcing myself during this dating process to listen to comedy albums because I just won't, because I'm waiting for the good part at the end of the evening. So I'll go through anything. So yes, I'll go out and have this exotic food with you. I don't normally eat food of this ethnicity. I can't think of one offhand. German food. But I've come to like currywurst. So I'll put up with that and then we'll go home and listen to your comedy albums. Oh, and here's some albums that are so bad they're funny. Let's listen to that. Some spoken word albums by salesmen in the 50s. Do I have things like that? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I listen to them with myself because I think, hey, if I find it funny, then I can certainly sit here and make it through if it's going to amuse me. But I don't expect anybody else to do that, just the two of me. I don't expect you to come. I don't want to subject you to it. I've gotten more thoughtful like that as I get older. I've had people over or something. I'll say, what do you want? And they'll say, hey, whatever you have. I go, no, you're being polite. Tell me what you want. And I'll make them tell me their desires. And they'll say, if I had every kind of alcohol on earth, what do you want? And they'll go like, oh, Pousse Café. And I'm, damn it. And I'll have to go out and get all these things to make this dang Pousse Café or B-52 or anything, one of them layered drinks. But that's what you have to, that's the cost of asking somebody, hey, what do you really want? What can I really do for you? Let them be polite and say, you know, if you got strawberry quick, that'll be fine. Or water it is, like that. And then just give them time. You didn't say ice. We don't normally put ice in it because we're conserving water. I remember when I was a young man, and my mom would take me, like if it was a special occasion or a Wednesday, we would go to one of these restaurants, one of these diners. And normally they used to bring you a glass of water. Just sit down, you'd immediately get a glass of water. But today, there was a sign on the table, and it said this. It said, for each glass of water that you get at this restaurant, all these babies are going to be hurt. No, it didn't say that. It said it takes 8 glasses of water for us to get up, to get rid of our thirst enough to pour this one for you or something. Or we have to wash it and then there's the ice. Anyway, we're running out of water. So we're not going to just put down water anymore unless you ask for it. Because we've been noticing, A, you're not drinking it. B, sometimes you get a soda pop or whatever have you to go with your meal. And I was like, oh, what is this? I've got to ask for it now. And I'm shy. I was hoping my water would just be here. So that was the first, and that was when I was young. Now they don't tell you why they don't give you the water. But it's because we knew we were running out of it, even then. So now it scares me. So I'll go if I could skip water, but then I can't make some of the llamas don't go down. You see what I'm saying? I need a little bit of lubricant. My great-grandmother said that it was not healthy to drink water with your meal. She was born in the 1880s. She said, no, you don't drink. That's bad for your digestion. She's dead. She lived at 80-something, but still, she was not in good health the whole time. I said, man, you got to lube it up with the water. The water is what keeps your body is mostly water. I said, if my great-grandmother was here today, I'd say, did you see the movie The X-Men? And she'd say, what, the what, man? The X, man, the what, the not, they're not man. No, did you see the movie? The movie? Granny, focus. Did you see the movie? I don't go to no movies. It's called The X-Men. I don't know what you're saying. Grammy, listen. So there's a man in that, and it is all watery. What? This is why I don't. Just forget it. Don't bother tell old person something. Just love on him. Say whatever you... Sometimes you can't change minds. Sometimes you gotta work around mines. Sometimes when you're tilling the land, you get to a big old stump and you say, oh, I know this. This is from a movie with Alan Ladd, where he's got to dig up the stump. I know this old Western. And then there's a gunfighter that comes to town. What the heck is that? And then they remade it? No. What I'm saying is don't spend all that time digging up that stump and hiring a gunfighter. Sometimes you have to just let something that's been there run its course. And you spend too much time digging it up and trying to make that field clear, you will never plant the field. What are we talking about? I don't know. I'm trying to go for basic rules. I'm thinking if you can come up with some basic rules, and I think that's most people who write the Zen calendars, the Zen-a-day calendars, which spawned a religion, knew that if we could only distill it, like Confucius says, one line equals... That's fine. I think he said something like that. Meaning, if it doesn't go on a bumper sticker, then write a book. And if it doesn't go on a book, a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, well, man, you, right? Am I right? Hey, we are not all of us are Cockney. When I was little, I used to see these pictures of these Cockneys. Now, we were worried they were going to come and get us with buttons all over them, button people. Do you remember this? Do they still have those? Cockney button people. And my mother would always say, they're going to come after you. And mummers. What is that, Mama? Mummers, brother, come out of Philadelphia. It's a type of goji or something. It's got huge feathers on its head and a tenor banjo. Oh, Mama, is it going to get me? Yes, it's going to hide under your bed. It's going to bite your head off. Oh, what can save me? Only one thing can save you. You must submit your imagination to me. My mother would never say that. But she would say, I don't like that Mad magazine. That gives me the willies. I think it's not. Okay. This cracked seems tamer. All right, that's all right then. I was always allowed to have the light version of something if it come out. So I don't know about these Beatles, but these banana splits seem okay. I go, not to me, man. I was like, bananas, these people are in furry costumes. That you trust? At least the Beatles, you know who they were. But banana splits, who knows what's in there? I don't know who's in there, okay? So that scares me a little bit. And my mother would say, I don't follow you. I go, Mama, you will, because I'm going to lead the most powerful movement in the future. She didn't believe me. She did not believe me that I would be a leader of men. She said, you'll be a 2-liter of Pepsi. It was her joke. I said, no, I will be a leader of men. And she goes, men only. I go, what's that supposed to mean? She goes, I don't know, some kind of men-only club or something you might be a leader, right? Or some dated social club where there's just 10, maybe 10 elderly men in it who are all bigots. God, I doubt that. I meant a leader of humans. She goes, why would you want to be a leader even? I said, I don't know, Mama. I don't know. I just want to be a success. I just want to make you proud of me. And she said, look, honey, whatever you do, whatever you accomplish in life, I'm never going to be proud of you. So just, you might as well do anything. I said, oh, Mama, thank you for, she goes, that's all right. I know that, did I unburden you? Yes, more so than if you said you'd be proud of me, because then it's like, what's the value of anything? Exactly. This way you can be always searching for somebody who does value what you do. Thank you. No, my real life. See, now my real mother will hear this, and I will catch holy hell. I hope you were joking. Look, I was. You know I didn't say that. When did you eat? My mother would do that. I'd say, when did you have peanut butter? I go, I think at a friend's house. Not at our house. Not peanut. We did have peanut butter. But things like that, my mother would question me, when did you have liver? I think I tried it at a restaurant. I don't remember that. You weren't there, maybe. And now still doesn't. My mother's 108. And she still says, when did you have a taco? We never ate tacos. I go, well, I've been out of the house for 50 odd years or something. No, I don't have it. My mother's not that old. I don't know why I feel compelled to tell a funny story and then say, no, I'm making it up. I guess I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Every time I lie, I've been so conditioned against lying. Isn't that absurd? My mother had seen Clockwork Orange, and she said, I think I'm going to condition you physically against lying. And she propped my eyes open. She made something out of pipe cleaners and tinfoil that she had seen in Hints by Heloise. She used to order a lot of things from catalogs. She goes, I got this catalog. I had to brainwash a child. So she'd strap me down, and I'd stare at things, and TV shows would go by. And that's why I'd seen a lot of those Sid and Marty Krofft. She goes, not this. And I have to watch all of those. I go, well, that's negative reinforcement. That's why I can't tolerate. That's why I have a hard time accepting an old so bad it's good thing. It made me not very hip when I was younger. People say, do you want to come over and see a wretched, poorly made movie? I don't know, man. We're going to laugh at a cripple later. No, I don't think so. I don't think bad things don't make me feel better about myself. I like beauty. I like to see things that inspire me. They go, okay, suit yourself. But no, I'm not putting down that. There's still some things that I like that are so silly. I think mainly it's just we like to see, we need examples of people who are without any self-knowledge so that we cannot go that route. But we like benign. So because you say, oh, well, Hitler. Yeah, but see, that's too much. We want somebody without self-knowledge who's done something benignly wrong so that we don't have to condemn them. We can just laugh and say, oh, if I was that full of myself, I might make that same mistake. It's hard. Let's say you're all full of yourself, people telling you you're great or have a lot of money. See, if you have a lot of money, sometimes you get flattered. And sometimes it's either actors or something have a lot of money and people keep flattering and then nobody will be really honest with them. And so they won't know exactly whether they're good or not. And then reality comes crashing down. And that's very, very funny to college kids. I agree sometimes. You say, Hardy, I think you're contradicting yourself quite a bit. And I say, well, that depends. That depends. My whole philosophy depends. And they say, what does it depend on? And I say, you tell me. And they say, what does that mean? Exactly. Exactly. I'm trying to get along with folks right now. It depends on the situation I'm in. Let's say if I'm on a desert island, forget it. There's one rule. Hardy rule. That's it. So it doesn't even, I don't even have to share what that philosophy is because that's circumstantial. Nothing as I was in a desert island with seven people, say. Different rules for that. My ethics changes then. You know what I'm saying? That it just depends on how many people are around. Now, that's a easy seven I can have relationships with them. Not, you know, that way. But I could get to know them all. Let's say I'm living in a group of a million. Things change again. See, I'm not somebody who brings the same lens to the same photo shoot when I know I want to need a wider lens. Why? Because they want to do that old style close up to the camera fisheye effect, like Busta Rhymes or something, right? Oh, get right up to the camera. What are we shooting? I'm not telling. But it's a wedding video. Oh, weddings now are getting complicated. Somebody said, do you want to be in a wedding? And I said, no, because I won't be able to learn the choreography. And I don't think I'll be able to learn my lines and everything. I go, well, there's only about 20 rehearsals. Because what they're doing is doing an elaborate video for the YouTube. So they're doing, what they're doing is Sweeney. I said, I don't know, man. I go, yeah, there's auditions and everything. So, like, the best, I guess the bride is Mrs. Lovett. It's very complicated. I don't want to go into it. I've been in these musical weddings before. They're actual ceremonies. And, I think therefore you are. Did I think you into existence? No. I don't know. No? I don't know. I hope not. I don't know. I hope so. I don't know. So I went to a lucid dreaming class, or at least I dreamt I did, and then I had sex with everyone in it. No, I'm kidding. I didn't know how to lucid dream at that point. So I went to a lucid dreaming class, and I sat there with my pen and pencil. This is a dream I had. And I sat there and I said, look, if we can do this in dreams, is it possible that we could lucid wake up? And they said, try to wake up. And I went, oh, actually, in my dream, I was going, and then I woke up like that. But I was still asleep. And I know I was still asleep because there was a doll. I was being stabbed by a doll. And it wasn't. And then I woke up again. How many times did I wake up that night? I don't know. I was really. It was like the movie, Insipid, where the guy's just, how many dream levels am I down? Because they were getting inside people's dreams in that. And then at the end, you go, I don't know if he's dreaming. Did I dream it? I don't remember. I'm done with this. This is dumb. I think. That kind of ambiguity will be gone in the future. People go, just tell me. Right? Just tell me. What is it? Is it a dream? Is it not real or real? I know that it's hard to tell. But I'm looking for definitive answers now. So we get it that it's difficult to tell, that the nature of reality is iffy. That's we're super settled on that. Now, what do you think, filmmaker? Say, I don't know if it were up to me, but I don't have to show it to the money men. And the money men literally are made of money. And what is money? Money ultimately is work combined with organic material, or what we call people. People are really money. So we're trading each other because it represents some future promise of something made or something done. But it's all, or land, so you could say land, that's not a thing that's made or a thing that's done. Yes, but it has to be defended, because sometimes there's people on it, and you have to remove them like nits. That's what they've done when people colonialize something. They'll land there, and they'll go, oh, there's people here. We need to clean them out. We need something like a genocidal service pro. Or something. Get rid of it, because I've already got this land planned out. And I'm going to have a swimming pool that looks like a natural lagoon where that natural lagoon is. Oh, that's a brilliant idea. Are you against all this? Are you saying that people shouldn't ever go and do anything or murder each other and take each other's land and then other things, culture? Are you against that, Hardy? Are you against people building things and then tearing them down? Are you against people making things and then painting them a funny color or putting little cartoon characters on them? Little, not a cat, exactly, but let's say a little mouse with a kind face and a mustache mouse on everything. Is that what you're for? Hardy White, are you for groups of people getting together and playing instruments spontaneously in village squares, but it really being some kind of ad for some kind of fruit juice? Is that what you're for? Are you for everybody making fruit juice and working at the factory and only getting paid in coupons where they can go in the store and get something with that? Say, what is this coupon? It's got a picture of George Washington on it. I want real money. I don't want some money for the company store. Oh, what that future scenario? Do you think that future scenario is here now, Hardy? Is that what you think? Do you think you got it early? You think you filed your tax return of life, of figuring out life early, and now you're going to get your check before April 15th even rolls around? Do you? I'm totally sorry. I checked out super early on your rant. So I don't even know what the... Could you just ask me the one question? Because I feel like you've asked me 28 questions. And that even exceeds the 20 questions that we're used to. So I'm just going to ask you a question. a vegetable, animal, or a mineral? Vegetable, animal. All right, I say carrot giraffe, made entirely of peppers. The peppers are the only thing thriving in my garden, and why is that? Nothing wants to eat them. So now I eat them, and I love the hot peppers. I never used to like them when I was young, but now I have no sense of taste or smell or anything. I go, these hot peppers are just about right for me. And they light up my mouth like Debbie Boone lights up an auditorium. She's still performing? I don't know. You know, I feel this way mainly about Cubism, but also about Debbie Boone. And that is, we tend to throw things out before we're done with them. And now, with the internet, things move so fast that they're dated before you've done them. So you get an idea. And unfortunately, the way the humanity works is the minute you get an idea about, few hundred other people get it at the same exact time. I'm telling you, they really do, because you've got all the same information, generally the same experience and memory. These things are necessarily emergent from the nature of the information. So what's going to happen is you think of something like a joke or an idea, and somebody else is going to think about it at the same time, making you feel as if your idea is instantly dated. And so I don't think that these ideas are propagating at the same rate that they used to, because people think, oh, somebody else already thought about that, right? So they're not being done. So all the Cubist ideas have not been exhausted. And all the ideas now and all the trends and all the kind of music, we're forging ahead before we've explored all the possibilities. There were three little pigs, and they each made a house. The first pig made his house out of straw. What does straw represent? In this case, it's the early art. Now, John Berger told me this, and when we were drunk, so I'm going to get it wrong. But it's representational art, all right? Like, so cave drawings and things like that. It's when art and religion were confused, when there was something inherently mystical and transcendent about the image. All right, that's the house of straw. So the first pig, and who's the first pig? The way that he tells it. Well, he used political figures from the time. So the one that this conversation is in 1970. I'm having. If you read an essay and at the end it says 1970, don't you go, oh, as if some things are significantly, so they're so different now that that's no longer true. I find that everything seems so dated. My grandmother, just the opposite. I would go in her larder and say, what's that? It's like a girdle. And she would have cans, because she was always a hurricane coming, because it's in Florida. So I go, hurricane's going to come. So she'd have cans, and they were from 10 years earlier. I go, you know, even in a can, Granny, it's not like a can isn't some kind of time-protected thing. The cans are not at like zero Kelvin, perfectly preserved. All molecular motion has not stopped within the confines of these cans. Perfectly preserving your Vienna sausage for all eternity. And she goes like, shut up, David Mitchell. And I was like, which David Mitchell? And she's like, the sarcastic one. Bless, I want to send a general blessing. Is everyone getting my blessings out there? I don't know if anybody's even receiving them. And back in the 80s, when I was, I keep saying when I was a young man, I wasn't even a young man then. I said, I have to go back farther. I'm lost track of how old I am. I'll tell you, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to do the math while I'm talking. But back in the 80s, if you wanted to be in a band, you would have to have a drum machine. No, this is not true. Actually, what happened is I lost track of what I was saying because I was thinking of my age, and I thought I could keep up with the story. It doesn't go that way. It doesn't go that way. Sometimes if we get off the train. This is my how my thought works. I'm so confident that when the train pulls into a station, even though it's going to be there for a couple seconds, I will go to the newsstand and buy something, and I will hop back on the train just as it's starting to move, right? Well, you get overconfident, you hop off, you go, I'm going to get a magazine, oh, and I'm going to step over here and get a coffee. And that's when it's like, and the train pulls away and you don't catch it. And it's goodbye, Mr. Chumps. And it's gone. And you're standing at the end of the train platform feeling just like an idiot. And the guy from the coffee stand goes, you want your change? It's because the change is no good to me now. That's when I went berserk and started hitting myself. Not him. I wouldn't do that to somebody else. And they go, stop. Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? I heard. And then I noticed the cop actually had my wrist and was making me hit myself in the face. But I'd gone to school with him. It was cool. It's cool. He didn't remember that. But I was trying to say, we were friends. We used to be friends. He goes, I don't think so. When you get older, people forget you. And they might forget your face. And I think when we get older, we forget ourselves. You look in the mirror and you say, I went to school with that lady or guy. And then I turn around and she's not there. That was a ghost over my shoulder, a ghost of a classmate. I wonder how many of my classmates are deceased. I don't really know. They don't send that out on Facebook. So how many are dead? It gets around, right? But I'm not really in contact with anybody. But I haven't heard this scuttlebutt. And I went to a very small, one of those one-room schoolhouses, right? And and most of the children were actually deceased at the time. There's nobody there. So that's probably why I don't hear. And I don't like to think about the past. I've experienced it. So I don't always think about it. And I don't look at photos either. Whenever I look at photos of the past, I get a strange feeling like, man, you were there. Why go back? You're looking at something that's not there anymore. It's a strange feeling. And it gives me the feeling of nostalgia. And I don't like nostalgia. Nostalgia comes from the same root, the Latin root, as nausea. And it means to have something you see and it makes you want to throw up. Because you're like, oh, I'm so tired of that. It's making my stomach sick. It's giving me acid reflux. That mullet. Or whatever. So I don't want to see that again. That's what to regurgitate, to bring something up again. They'll say that at board meetings. So I don't mean to regurgitate the issue of someone leaving dirty magazines in the clubhouse. But I think it's got to stop. I said, could we put a lock on the door? Well, that limits a lot of people's access to the clubhouse.
Well, perhaps we should have surveillance cameras.
That's a little draconian, don't you think? And expensive. I don't know. I think there's let's put the word out and put something in the newsletter. And perhaps who's ever doing it.
Oh, what if they've got mental problems?
I don't know. I mean, maybe we should have somebody take turns sitting at the clubhouse.
I don't have time for that.
I'm not going to do it. That's why the camera's a better idea.
No, I don't think so.
I'm the one leaving the magazines.
All right, okay, don't.
All right.
That's good. That's how a board meeting should go. I don't know if you know, there's a fella named Roberts what come up with the book of order. No, I don't talk like that. I'm sorry. I wanted to sound more folksy, more country. What come up? I don't speak that way. I went to school. I know the difference between. I mean, I did go to school, and I didn't do great, but I didn't do terrible. I don't like this idea that he's uneducated. No, you know I'm educated. It's not easy getting out of high school. Come on now. People laugh at that, but you know I did all right. I did like a B minus. So you know I know how to write. I know my grammar and everything. Sometimes I speak. In an unsophisticated way to be silly. And sometimes I will genuinely mispronounce a word and then pretend like I did it intentionally. But I never just set out to do it like I'm Norm Crosby or that girl on the Saturday Night Live. So I try to say, you know, if I say,
That is, when I meant to say chicanery, I say chartreuse. I know, I don't know. I can't even give an example. I'd love to come. Oh, well, that's not what he means. He said he means monologue, but he said mononucleosis. That whole misspeaking thing. I think it's been done. And there's so many genuinely ignorant people now that we don't need to pretend anymore. We used to have to say there were certain kind of comedians and everything say, oh, they're pretending to be stupid. Now we got real on access to stupid people. So we don't need to, nobody needs to do it as an act anymore. Isn't that interesting? And you'll notice that in show business. Some things, old entertainment tastes could reflect hatred and bigotry even. Nobody wants to see that, right? So, you know, a lot of laughs were had at other people's expense. And once you sort of wake up and you see it's hurting someone, once the curtain is pulled away and you see that your laughs are coming at the expense of somebody else, and you say, well, they should be able to take some hurt feelings. I'm saying no, but a lot of times it's, systematic dehumanizing. We're really, what? Systematic dehumanizing?
What do you mean?
I'm not going to. Listen, I'll tell you what. This is why I won't tell you my philosophy right now for dealing with the world. And I want you to put the radio very close to your ear. I'm not going to yell or flash up a ghost. Some things, it's going to go, ah, and it'll be a ghost, like a ghost, scary lady ghost face. No, it won't be that. I want to tell you something privately. And I don't want a lot of people to hear it. It's not always important to tell people what you're really thinking. All right? All right? So it is not, just keep that in mind. I'm not saying be manipulative or anything, but it's just not, it does not always behoove you. And you will find that sometimes it's sort of a weakness and a compulsion. And that a lot of times it is better to be unscrutable or inscrutable or unraskable or unrask. See, now I'm doing it. You screw up a word and pretend it I did on purpose. But, you can't speak for a long stretch of time like I do and not reveal the limits of your intellect pretty quickly. And I think we see that in politicians. We'll have them speak and say, give me some extemporaneous speaking. And they'll be fine when they're hitting them talking points, right? And they'll talk in circles. But if you get them out, if they're allowed to actually speak their thoughts, it's always a disaster. Haven't you noticed that? It should not be that way. We're just having robots and things. It used to be, our politicians used to be bigots with conviction. And now everybody is obfuscating what they really think. And didn't you not just tell me that everybody doesn't have to know what you think? Didn't you just give that advice, Hardy? And now you're bemoaning it in public figures? Yeah. I did. I just contradicted myself. So one of those things, maybe I believe one of them and not the other. Is that true? Or can you behave one way but not want to see it done for evil in the other way? You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't mind having a sword, but I don't want a homicidal maniac who's standing in front of me to have a sword. That's not hypocritical. So what I'm saying, it's the way you use the thing. So you can use not telling people what you really think for good, or you can use not telling people what you really think for bad. And what's good and bad? Okay, just go back. First, go back and listen to all the archive shows, because that's a long discussion. A long discussion. And everything is local. All ethics are local. So bad here, bad where I am, is anything that harms me or people I love, anything that causes them physical harm, anything that makes their life struggle worse, death, disease, things like that. That's bad. That's bad. And then good things would be low-priced snack foods, bulk snack foods, things like that. The list is too long for that one. Things that are blessings. That's the kind of jeopardy I want to go on. blessings, my eternal blessings for 500, Alex.
What is, an answer is, what is you? No, that's not right. What? Who are you? No, that's not right either. I don't know that. You know what I mean. The answer is you. The answer is all the people who lend me their ears every week, all the people who lend me their hearts, all the people that are members of my community, virtual and otherwise, all of my fellow human beings whose hearts are open, who recognize the great struggles in life, who recognize pain in others, and don't cheapen it. All the people that are not, hey, and all my pathological brothers and sisters whose brains work different, who are incapable of feeling what other people feel. Each time I said it, I spelled it different. You didn't see that. What do I not love them too? Hey man, we just all are. Here we are. And old hearty, I'm just trying to trick you into giving me candy and not stealing my bike. That's where I'm coming from. So if you can live with that, I think that's a terrific type of person to live with. Just benevolently confusing. And you can be that way too. You know, you'll find that it's very difficult to be consistent. In a world where pi is infinite, why would you feel any need to be consistent or symmetrical? A math fella just said that to me. I said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm going to make a bunch of pi jokes to deflect my ignorance. So, okay, that's all right. That's good, too. I think that a lot of people that are in show business who are comedians sometimes misinterpret that as providing for the common good. Say, hey, you know, I just lift up hearts. And I scream at people I work with. See, so I just got to be consistent. It isn't all about the art, you know. It's about the art of being a person, too. That's the art to work on. Because I'll tell you, when I hear the artists or performers or anybody or politicians that they treat people in privately, they treat underlings. And you know, what are underlings? They're little bitty people, a little race of people. You hardly ever see them. They live in cobbler shops and they make shoes at night. You think he's going to eat these, thinking they're cookies? No, keep making the shoes. And anybody who treats them cruelly because of their size and because of how tired they are, because they're up all night, every night, making stuff. It's how you treat those, everybody, and overlings. You know, that's what we judge you by. So not just when you're on TV and you're all smiles and everybody's laughing at you. Because I can laugh at my friend Tom at a party when we're both drunk. I know this because an invisible friend smeared with cream told me from the beginning of the show. You remember that. You'd remember that from 50 minutes ago, Hardy. Yes, I did. Didn't you? Do you remember that? I did. That's neat. Yeah, I'm not forgetting what I'm telling you. I know what I've come here to tell you. And I understand the power of radio to bring it to you. Power of this medium, the power of this language, the power of this electronic canvas made of the same substance as light that beams out from me, from my brain, into a building in New Jersey, past Ken, because everything has to get past him, and then out on in past the universe, into the other universe, possible universe that David Lewis tells us there. It's going to every one of those. And in some universes, I'm loathed. Say, oh, that guy. Ugh, that shtick is so tired. It's just I listened and I didn't find it funny or clever at all. At all. I'm sorry. I mean, get hurt. I get hurt from criticisms from possible worlds. Isn't that funny? They're not even real. And yet I still take them personally. That means I have to get a little away from my center. So I'm going to stand over here next to you and ask you questions about how your day went. or your memories of your granny. You're listening to I'm not quite done. Psych, you thought I was at the end of that. Oh, that's what a beautiful ending to today's show. I'm not done. I'm not near done. I got a length of a prog rock song to talk to you. Isn't that something? Just when you think things are over, it's like people wake up dead in the coffin and say, I'm still alive, let me out. That's the last 5 minutes of a radio show are always like that. Say, oh, I was done. I was really, oh, sort of done. I'm ready for the music. I know, and the music will get here in a minute. So don't you worry. I feel like I'm Brother Theodore opening for the Beatles. So I don't know that they're the same fans. I don't know if they're going to want to see this part. But you never know. You know, do we do things to please everybody? Is there anything that pleases everybody? There's always going to be somebody that doesn't like something, and then 10,000 people like them. So who are we trying to please? Ourselves? Well, when we do, we vilify those people. So those people are only trying to please themselves. They're self-pleasuring. No, that's not right. They're self-satisfied. That's it. Smug and self-satisfied. Well, that's because it's the type of, what? Oh, I'm sorry. Listen, the guy fixing the air conditioner has to get in here to my desk and go through some papers. I have no idea why. I'm going to be like, 2 seconds, friend, and then you can go here and just watch a rifle through the filing cabinet while I'm working. I'm just finishing this up. New Jersey. It's in New Jersey. No, not here. Right. But online, you can listen online. Where exactly? Well, the show, first of all, the show is called Miracle Nutrition. Miracle Nutrition with Hearty White. H-E-A-R-T-Y, White. Right, like the bread. And then it's on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, or 91.9 in Rockland County. Rockland County. No, not in Rockland. No, not Tennessee. There isn't one in Tennessee? No. This is up in New York. Right. No, that's next to New Jersey. Did you not know that? Yes. No, it's always been that way. That isn't something new. Hey, listen, I'm going to let you get back to that. Go ahead and take, are you taking some, just make copies of whatever you take. And bring the original back, because I'm going to need that. That one's my birth certificate and my Social Security card you have now. So just bring those back. Write down the numbers, but bring back the originals if you don't mind. Or, okay, you could bring back the copy. That's cool. I don't know that has anything to do with HVAC, but you just do what you... I don't know. I don't have many skills like that, so I got to depend on other people. And so I trust you. You know I trust you. I know. Do you need a hug? Oh, this fella comes. I've only used him once today, and he's been here a week doing work, but I'm really happy with the results. But more than that, I'm happy with the results of our friendship, our collaboration, you and I being together, helping to pass this time. Life doesn't last forever. These moments, you'll realize, or you won't, are infinite and important. And so I hope that I have not, I hope I've wasted your time without wasting your time. That's two different spellings. So I'm going to let you go, and I want you to have a wonderful week and shine and radiate and burn brightly. And I will see you again next week.
Somebody who can help you, like the lady told me the other day. Say, her pastor told her, don't listen, nobody can help her. And I did my investigation on her pastor, and here somebody is, Shelly. You know, I was telling you about him, the same one y'all seen down there in Biloxi at the casino. He's doing so bad, he's taking 5 different pills a day. He had to have 30 people to go to the bathroom with him. And when Shelly and him seen him down to the casino, had on the most shades in that wheelchair, just couldn't walk. And they ain't gonna tell somebody how and what not to do, and he can't even help himself. He's doing so bad the seat of his breast is smoking, doing so bad the dogs won't even bark at him.
What kind of man?
What kind of man is this?
Nobody walks.
Nobody walks like Jesus.
What kind of man?
What kind of man is this?
Nobody talks.
Nobody talks.
Tommy Itz, Gospel Singers. Right there. Singing for us here on Sinner's Crossroads on WFMU. It Must Be the Lord is what they were singing about on the Copeland record label about 1959.